What's up, you guys? Sean Ross App, Q&A showtime. Asked for questions Tuesday night. Let's go ahead and get into them because we have over 150 good ones again. First one from Manuel says, do you think PWG will ever be a part of AEW? No, I don't. I think PWG will operate on their own and continue to do their own thing. PWG has had a lot of opportunities to make a lot more money than what they actually do, and they seem happy to do what they're doing. Manuel says, do you know if Impact will keep Gallows and Anderson exclusive to them in the U.S. so they can't work AEW, but give them the freedom to work New Japan? I would expect that they will be exclusive on TV to Impact Wrestling, but they can work New Japan. I know that Impact wanted to establish more of a relationship with New Japan, but New Japan didn't want it last year, which led to New Japan being off access, which stupid all around. It was stupid of Impact to, or Anthem to kick off New Japan. It was, I think that New Japan probably should have just went ahead and worked with Impact to see if it worked, but it didn't end up happening. Rob says, any talk on who will take over Dave Lagana's position within NWA? Some expect Dave Marquez or Nick Aldis to take over that type of thing, or maybe a combination of the two. But no word yet. There's no word on the vision, but I do have a major NWA update coming up very soon. Any word on if WWE has regret releasing any talent this past April? No, I've not heard of any. Not as of yet. And Rob says, if you're the casting director, who would you cast as Vince McMahon in a Vince McMahon biopic film? Well, it would have to be somebody that can play younger or older. I would look at Steve Carell, Kevin Costner, and maybe Robert Downey Jr. I think those would be three pretty solid bets. And honestly, they got to be big too, like physically. Notorious Ali Atta says, what is the actual likelihood of Tessa ending up in WWE, and what do you think of the move? I think it's about 50-50, and if she can become a better person, I think it's a good move. She needs to legitimately know that the things that she has done and said are not okay. That are not okay. And unless she gets better as a person, then this is a bad move. If she improves as a person, maybe it's not. But there's a whole series of messes that could occur if Tessa has not improved as a person. And it could be very bad for WWE. Poirier versus Hooker or Zhang versus Joanna for fight of the night? I'd personally go Zhang and Joanna because that was such an amazing fight that had a little controversy. Yeah, I'm picking Zhang and Joanna as well. That was one of the most incredible fights I've ever seen in my entire life. It was special. That was incredible. I'll never forget that fight as long as I live. Why does Corbin hate the idea of working with Riddle? Is it because of the booking or the current situation? I don't know that he does hate the idea of working with Riddle. The story that I heard was that he wasn't thrilled that he knew about the feud months after Riddle knew about it. So I don't know if that's true or not. That's just a story that I heard. Young Bibby says, will Sasha Banks versus Bayley happen at SummerSlam? How long will they hold the titles for? And who do you think they lose them to? I think they'd lose them to an NXT team, or maybe the Riot Squad would be nice. Yes, I think it'll happen at SummerSlam. And I think they'll lose the titles before that. Which defunct promotion do you miss the most? WCW, because they legitimately competed with WWE. When will live fans for both AEW and WWE return? They don't know. WWE wanted to do July, but they do not know. What happens between Lee and Cole at Great American Bash? Like, part of me thinks that this is time for a fresh start with Keith Lee, but Adam Cole's been so good as champion. I kind of wouldn't hate if he won both of the titles, and then the way to beat him was for him to lose the North American Championship eventually. What do you think the aftermath plan is for both Lee and Cole, regardless of outcome? Well, if Keith Lee loses, I think he's going up to the main roster. If he loses, I think he would. For Cole, I think he's going to continue at the top levels of NXT. I think he is the anchor of NXT, and he will be one of the top names there. What is the direction of the Dark Order going forward? Just seems like it's Brody Lee getting irritated with the rest of the members taking abuse. Yeah, that's setting the stage. It's giving them something. They're working with Colt Cabana right now. He's teaming with Colt Cabana right now. Not everything has to be a main event level feud. And I'm okay with them doing like some supporting stuff along the way too. He got his title shot. And I think that right now it's best that he reset and try to make something out of the Dark Order. And I think he's doing that with the Colt Cabana thing. If they get put in a team, so be it. Reed follows up on that by saying, what do you think needs to happen with Brody Lee and his character so that more people care about him? Seems as though more people liked the previous Luke Harper character better. I did. I certainly did. You just got to find that next level. I mean, the sad thing is, like, everybody knew the revival were going to come into AEW. There had already been a series of people like Jake Hager and Matt Hardy and a lot of people that were coming into AEW. And I feel like Brody Lee got lost in the shuffle there. I think he needs to go out and have really amazing matches and then people will care about him. Any thoughts or news on what New Japan might do with Jon Moxley and him having the U.S. title? No word. No word on that yet. I don't think it's a high priority for them right now. They're doing the cup, so they've got time. Brian says, with Mel being back and Abaddon being a thing now, how does the women's title picture shake up? I don't think Melanie factors into it really at all. I know she got that win on Dark a while back, but I don't think that will change much. I think they will push Abaddon, and she'll end up facing Hikaru Shida. That's my own personal prediction on it. I don't have any booking sheets in front of me. Brian says, Zicky Dice was released a while back, I saw. Is it looking like a Max Exodus from NWA? Well, the release was not finalized as of yet, but he was granted it. I've heard of at least one other name that wants out of NWA. Do you think we see some of the GCW shows that were booked for WrestleMania, like Effie's Brunch, WrestleVania, etc.? Yeah, I would think that GCW would go ahead and run those in like the fall or the summer or something like that, because it doesn't look like we're going to have gigantic crowds anytime soon. Jamie says, speculation is hard, but had Jeff Hardy not been fired in 2009, what was his ceiling? He wasn't fired. He left. I think his ceiling was about where he got WWE champion in some creative feuds. Other than the usual creative and lack of star building, what do you think causes the decline in wrestling? Those are the main things. The lack of the creative issues and lack of star building. I think those are the two main things. Nobody wants to tune in to watch a bunch of 50-50 people. Nobody wants to tune in to watch the same old stories that they've seen over and over again. Does WWE rely too heavily on wanting to build their own stars rather than letting genuine rises such as Daniel Bryan, Punk, and Becky take place? These three have the common trait of being good workers. No, I think WWE is too worried about the concern of somebody becoming bigger than the marquee. And that's always been the issue. And even look now, Becky Lynch got bigger than the marquee and she's gone. So what will that do to WWE? How the hell should I know? But they've fumbled it time and time again. Reed says, I keep hearing Effie's name more and more lately. What should I know about him and his character? Is he getting looked at further by all companies? I know that other companies have had their eyes on him, but he is a flamboyant gay man that will kick the living shit out of you. And he's so charismatic and just different. I think he's like 6'2", 230, so he's a good-sized independent wrestler. I mean, he's a good-sized wrestler in general, but he has become a fixture in GCW, and I couldn't be happier. Really talented. Somebody you're going to see him all over the place soon enough. Alva says, do you think Randy should have become the hype killer instead of the legend killer? For example, Edge and Christian had hype. Also, NXT superstars have had hype. I don't doubt that he could become that. I think him transitioning from the legend killer to the hype killer is possible. Is AEW's biggest show or their WrestleMania All Out? And if so, do you see them doing a show at Jaguar Stadium soon when things go back to normal? I don't see any stadium shows anytime soon. Like, no time soon. But they've got All Out and Double or Nothing as their two benchmark shows. And those will be their two pillar shows. And I think they should be. Have you thought about making Spanish content on Fightful, like a podcast, maybe for Select? Sometimes Carlos does that with boxing content, but we haven't thought about doing that yet. That's not really something we're looking to cross over into right now. I know you like to cross-check any stories you get, but without naming names, what's the wildest story you've heard of that you've been unable to corroborate? Well, I mean, a lot of stuff, a lot of relationship stuff that I wouldn't care to report anyway, but basically stuff like that, a lot of it, and quite frankly, I don't care who's screwing who as long as it's consensual and legal, so that's stuff that I'll never really put out there. Do you know if Baron Corbin has any pushback of any at the lame repetitive stuff he gets given? Does the company not see what some of the better booking creative could do for him? I've never heard of him giving pushback, but then again, I don't talk to him. And I don't necessarily talk to a lot of the people on the SmackDown side of creative or that were on the SmackDown side of creative before they combined, but I've not heard of any. Frankie Aguilera says, why did Mike Goldberg get let go by the UFC? You would think he had have a job for life there. Fox wanted to move on. UFC wanted to move on, and Goldberg had been there forever. They wanted to try something new. Why is it that these terrible taglines like the horror show and greatest match ever are happening? I mean, I wish I had an answer for you. The greatest wrestling match ever was for just pure buzz and gaining some attention. And it worked. It worked to some degree. They got that attention. They got that buzz. As for the horror show, I don't have a damn reason. I don't know. I've asked and I've just been told, well, that's the direction we're given. Is a part of the reason the women's division in AEW seems lackluster is because of a lack of mainstream talent. I think they need their own Jericho, which I could be someone being someone like Mickie James or Tessa Blanchard. Yeah, I think both of those would be really great. I think if I could take one talent realistically from WWE, pluck them and put them in AEW, it'd be Ember Moon. I think that she is a top level talent, and with the people that she has there, she could help make that division much better. But yeah, I think they do need some established talent. And there's not a lot out there. A lot of times when women leave WWE, they go to Impact or they retire. Jake says, were you able to learn or confirm what caused a substantial delay during the Money in the Bank tapings? I was able to learn it. I just wasn't able to confirm it. And I called around a lot about that and wasn't given any real answers. But there was a substantial delay over basically crowding concerns. I can say that much right now. There were some crowding concerns due to the pandemic, and things were paused for a little while. At least that was the word that emerged from there. But I haven't gotten enough confirmation on that to really get a full story out there. Has Money in the Bank felt wasted on Otis since he's never on TV or mentioned anymore? Yes. Yes, it has. I hope he's okay. Any idea or update on the time frame for the finished TNT title plating or redesigned U.S. title? The U.S. title was done, from what I understand. At least that's according to Belt Fan Dan, was that it was done. And as far as the TNT title, it'll be when everything opens up, whenever that they can, the plating place opens up again, so no time frame yet. Dylan Dover says, do you think Kelly Klein is a good fit for the AEW's women's division despite everything going on with BJ Whitmer? No, and because of that, I don't think she would be there. Wouldn't count on it. They ain't touching Joey Mercury with a 10-foot pole. Sean Murray says, what's the beef between AJ Styles and Paul Heyman? AJ, from what I understand, felt like Paul Heyman did not appreciate Gallows and Anderson and could have kept them off the chopping block, and it led to creative issues between the two that led to AJ going to SmackDown. That's what I've heard. That AJ was furious about that, the use of Gallows and Anderson and them not being kept off the chopping block. And the funny thing is he moved to SmackDown and now SmackDown's run by the same people that run Raw. Do wrestlers have to get permission or approval to get tattoos? Usually they run them by the office for merchandising and licensing purposes. I don't know if that's still the case, but that was the case as of a few years ago. Dylan says, how would you feel about Henry Cejudo getting a chance in AEW after the appearance on Dynamite or any of the other guys in Tyson's crew? Vitor or Rashad or Cejudo, I would be all for if they took the time and trained. I mean, Vitor Belfort, quite frankly, if he's at American Top Team, well, he's got Dan Lambert there, and Dan Lambert's got connections. And also, Vitor Belfort was a guy that WWF wanted 20-some years ago. They really wanted Vitor Belfort, specifically Bruce Pritchard. Henry Cejudo, a lot of people don't realize, before his UFC days, was recruited by WWE and had a meeting. That Mighty Mouse character that you always hear about, apparently Henry Cejudo was pegged for that, but he passed on it and went to MMA. Funny thing is, when he moved to MMA, he ended up facing a guy named Mighty Mouse, had his greatest feud with him. But Mickey Gooch, no, get him the fuck out of here. Ben says, hey, SRS, as someone who wants to listen to the general wrestling discussion podcast but only listens to things that are not WWE, it can be arduous. With the exception of Listen Ya Boy, which is always newsworthy stuff, a lot of the shows involve the host spending 90% of the time talking about WWE stories, so it means a lot of boredom. What Culture even put AEW and other companies' news section into the section called WWE? Do you see this WWE news-centric nature ever changing? And if so, what will it take to happen? Quite frankly, I don't think you're looking hard enough. Maybe on podcasts it's like that, but we have just as much non-WWE news as anything else. And that's because non-WWE people are more accessible. If you want more non-WWE stuff, support those non-WWE interviews. We do tons of them, and they don't get as much attention as WWE interviews. Got to put your money where your mouth is in that regard. Chris says, do you think Undisputed Era has a babyface run in them? Yeah, I do. I think that they should be the anchors of the division. And as a result, I think they will eventually have a good face run. Kenny says, I've noticed that each one of the AEW refs only have one of their wrist tapes. Is there a reason why only one wrist but not both? I find it weird. Thanks, Sean. No, but I'll ask that. I don't know, but that is a very good question. That's something that I've never noticed. Ben says, do you think it can be a risk to push someone not signed to a longer-term deal like Deonna straight to the top of the card? Well, Deonna's not under any deal. She's not under any time deal. I think it's per appearance, but I expect her to lose at Slammiversary. So yeah, it can be, but I don't think it'll hurt them this time. Them being Impact. I think it's pretty good to capitalize on the buzz that she had. And let me tell you, out of all the releases, our news articles from Deonna Purrazzo got the most attention, which is wild. Do you happen to know if Mandy versus Sonya is being saved for SummerSlam, or if they're going to do Battle of Extreme Rules? I think they'll just make them wrestle on a SmackDown or something. I don't think they were thrilled about being left off the last pay-per-view. Chris says, I've noticed lately that Murphy has been wearing tights that look similar to the ones Rollins wore. Is there something to this or just coincidence? I think there's something to it. I think it's the disciple in him. Why do WWE refuse to book the Zelina stable strong? It makes no sense how they're used. You're right. It doesn't make any sense how they're used. They won their tag team match, and then they turned around and lost to the Big Show. They are the definition of 50-50. Why do they refuse to book the Zelina stable strong? Because they're not a priority to Vince McMahon until they're a priority to Vince McMahon. And I think Angel Garza is becoming one. Then they're not going to get that push. Dev says, at the peak of then TNA's popularity, how did Vince view Dixie Carter and how has their relationship evolved over the years? To my knowledge, they haven't had a relationship. The integration or interaction between Vince or between TNA and WWE has been handled by other people. I know he wasn't involved in the negotiations for the Flair Christian deal, but I don't think he ever viewed Dixie as a threat. He viewed the entity as an annoyance and would do things. He didn't do as much counter programming then as they do now, but I don't think that he really gave Dixie Carter much thought. Jeff Williamson says, is there any truth to people saying that Bruce Pritchard is helping out with NXT's creative? No, not to my knowledge. Do you think they're going to wait until there's real fans back until they go through with Bayley and Sasha? And how do you see the feud playing out? Well, I've said how I think it's going to play out. I think Bayley is going to get pressured. One of two ways. She's going to get pressured and end up intentionally dropping the tag titles by not breaking up a pin on Sasha. And then Sasha's going to know and she's going to challenge her. And then they have their match. Or I could see a situation where Sasha wins the Raw title and then they end up losing the tag titles and they're split. And then it gets delayed again. Ah! Could you imagine? Our boy Throwback, make sure you check out his show on Tuesdays at youtube.com/throwback27. Says, with the possibility of Tessa coming to WWE, who do you think her first feud in the company would be? Well, I think she would go to NXT, and I think she would probably wrestle Io Shirai. I think she would go right to the top. If it was WWE, I would probably go with somebody lower on the card like Natalya. Throwback says, with the comments by Mark Henry saying Keith Lee is ushering in a new era of the big man, what do you think the ceiling is for Lee that you see happening for him? At this moment, I think on the main roster, it's a mid-card title and a challenge for the world title. But if he finds that extra gear as a character, I could easily, and I mean easily, see him becoming a world champion. Just the right program, the right pairing, I think could make him really special. And he already is really special. It's just I could see it really setting him to the next level. Where do you see wrestling going in 5 years or 10 years, and why? I think we'll have less promotions. I mean, obviously, NWA cooked right now. Lucha Underground's gone. I would not be surprised to see either ROH, Impact, or MLW kind of scale back, and we've got less televised promotions, but more talent in those fewer promotions. I just think that there isn't enough pieces of the pie for everybody. It seemed like there was a couple years ago, but now that AEW's come along, it's taken a much, much bigger piece of that pie. So I think that we'll probably see maybe 3 or 4 main promotions, probably 4. And one of the ones that we see are kind of go away, even beyond NWA. Throwback says, this isn't a question, but wanted to thank you for everything you do, Sean. Your team and you show dedication and passion for what you do as a reader. I enjoy it. Thank you very much. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Matt says, what's the status of Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler? They're both fine. They're both ready. That's it. No issues. Jeff Williamson says, with the hacker being mentioned on Raw by Sasha, do you think that they haven't done anything with the hacker because Ali has been staying home? Yeah, which is dumb, right? Because he doesn't need to be there to do anything. Stupid. But yeah, I think that's what happens. Or happened. Cody Byers says, early in the AEW's creation, they talked about dual contract employees. Do you know what other jobs wrestlers are performing in the company, like Nakazawa? I know Awesome Kong was an agent. I know that Brandy obviously oversaw some stuff. I know Sick Nick Mondo does some of their videography, but that's not a dual contract. Obviously, Aubrey and Tony Schiavone are doing the podcast and the post shows. Jim Ross is serving as a consultant. Now, don't quote me on all this stuff, but these are the ones that I've heard. I mean, you can quote me if you want. It just might not be accurate. I think that Brandon Cutler is obviously filming stuff for them. Those are the ones that are off the top of my head. I know QT Marshall has been helping train people, but that's not AEW affiliated from what I understand. Liam says, with the recently released WWE Impact talent going to Impact, do you think they do this because it's an easier route back to WWE? Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. WWE has shown that usually if somebody pops up on MLW, they'll sign them up. So I don't know. I don't know that it's any easier than anybody else, to be honest with you. I don't think that we have seen that somebody that goes to AEW can't end up back in WWE. With Backstage being dropped, do you think they may test the water with CM Punk? Nope, I don't think they will. How important to a review is being impartial to you? I've listened to other podcasts in the past, and it's a big put off listening to purely negative reviews. This is a question as well as praise, because all of your reviewers are very, very balanced. Keep up the great work. It's very important to me. When I felt like Alex was becoming too jaded to cover Raw and SmackDown, I was like, listen, I think you're an awesome reviewer. But let's make something out of that. If you want a completely negative review, let's give you your own negative review. And people really like his negative review. To me, I can separate that stuff just because I hate something that somebody does one week doesn't mean I'm going to hate it the next. It's very important to me because we watch wrestling because we enjoy it and want it to be good. Rob says, if Aces and Eights are returning, who do you think will be in it? Doubt Ken Anderson, Briscoe, or Garrett Bischoff, but I could see EC3's new character fitting great with them. I think Gallows and Anderson are locks, and obviously D'Lo. Okay, here's... I think it could be... I don't think you want to do that to EC3, but if you want to go that route, EC3, Gallows, Anderson, Larry D, D'Lo in there just to have her in there, and then Deonna Purrazzo and Kylie Ray. No, I'm just kidding, not Kylie Ray. But I'd throw Deonna and another woman in there. I think Deonna would be a really, really great fit. Also, I don't hate the idea of Johnny Swinger being in there as a heater. Who do you think the surprise entrant in the Fatal 4-Way at Slammiversary will be? I think it would be EC3. I see that you mentioned Rich Swann. It'd be hard for me to believe he's back from an Achilles injury after 6 months. Eric says, if you had to pick one male and one female of the Impact roster that would be at the top of the AEW or WWE food chain in the next 5 years, who would you pick? Well, I would have said Tessa, but I'm going to say Jordynne Grace on the women's side of things. And I think Moose, if he makes good impressions, could be a top guy in AEW or WWE. He's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, just like with tweets and stuff, but I think he can be very good. Ace Austin, it could also be very good. The North, as a tag team, could be atop a hill as well. Brian says, with the abundance of news this past week, and the majority of it being negative and depressing, how much of a toll does that take on you personally as a reporter? A lot. I don't like covering stuff like that, but it's something that you got to cover, especially when some of the people that were hurt and that did the hurting are people that are your friends or were your friends. It sucks. What promotion do you feel the former Rusev is most likely to show up with? New Japan, I think, would be a great landing spot for him. I think that one would be really good. I think AEW is kind of a little too much with all the former WWE guys, but he could be very good there. Handsome Miro would be great. Also, maybe Impact. Also, where do you see the landing spot for Zicky Dice, AEW, or NXT? I don't think we'll see him in Impact. Avery says, has Vince been at every taping since the recent COVID outbreak? I don't think so. Have any companies expressed any interest in Miro or Rusev? New Japan stands out to me. Yes, companies have. Do AEW have an automatic rematch clause? No, they don't. Any theories as to why Eva Lee still hasn't landed anywhere? So I actually have an interview. It's the last interview I have out there with long hair. Here's the story. I had a bunch of interviews on a memory card. The memory card got corrupted, and I lost a bunch of them. And I finally get to drop a couple. Eva Lee's had talks with MMA companies even. And she said in November, she's like, I'm so close and I don't want to mess it up. There have always been perceived attitude issues and some attitude issues. Some people don't like Eva Lee. But when she was in WWE, she was saying the way that we're booked is bullshit. I don't like this. It's bullshit. And it was bullshit. It totally was bullshit. And it took years after that for them to go, you know what? This is bullshit. And she caught a lot of the heat for it. But there were a lot of people dating back to then that she rubbed them the wrong way. And from what I understand, that hasn't necessarily changed for some people. In my experience with Eva Lee, I've always had positive experiences with Eva Lee. She's always been really awesome to me. Ed says, do you think slapping together Great American Bash makes WWE look desperate and reactionary? Desperate, no. Reactionary, yes. For sure, yes. But it's also business. It's business, and I'm okay with it. WWE's done this for decades, since the 80s. Ed says, why do you think that no one seems to think Tessa will land in AEW? Hasn't she pissed off some of the WWE locker room as well? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, here's the thing. If Tony Khan wants you in AEW, you're going to be in AEW. If Vince McMahon wants you in WWE, you're going to be in WWE. And I like your idea of a Cody FTR Blanchard stable. I think that'd be a great horseman stable. But I had heard that they were already out on, that AEW was out on Tessa long ago. So Rob says, what are your thoughts on the standing shooting star? I honestly hate it. Most people just do a standing backflip and stick their arms out like Superman. Well, there's a lot of the shooting star that I don't like, especially Adam Hangman Page's shoulder block, because you're decreasing momentum. I get it that it looks pretty, but the difference in a splash and a 450 splash is that with the 450 splash, you're gaining momentum and velocity. With the shooting star press, you're not. You would get just as much momentum by landing on somebody. I hate it as far as an explanation goes, especially just a regular one. So, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. Looks pretty, though. Anakin says, did Paige complaining about the lackluster booking of the tag titles for the women lead to them being more featured prominently, or was this a coincidence? It was a coincidence. At this point, who is the best option to win the Impact title? See, I would say EC3, but I think him coming in and winning the TNA title from Moose would be just as cool. I think that would make a lot more sense. I don't hate the idea of Ace Austin. I think he is so impressive. Hey, Sean, can you recommend a few WWF books from the 80s and 90s, very early millennium? The Mick Foley book is, if you're talking about from the early millennium, Mick Foley. I don't know of any from the 80s and 90s. I wasn't reading back then. Is there any chance Fightful will do an Impact post-show going forward? Will you be watching yourself given all the new additions? I watch Impact every single week. I have watched Impact every single week for the last, 6, 7 years. And for a long time before that. I watch, like, everything. It's just I don't review everything because I don't think that I need to review everything. Sometimes you need Alex or you need Warren or you need Louie or Denise or Steven Jensen who does The Weekender. Here on Fightful Select, we cover Impact Wrestling. I do Impact pay-per-view post shows, though. If cleared and no charges come to be, do you see some of these stars from the speaking out allegations back in the ring? My opinion is they'll almost all be released. Yeah, some of them will be back. Michael Groom says, what would you think about Sasha beating Asuka for the women's title at Extreme Rules with Bayley's interference, only to lose it right back on Raw due to Bayley's interference? I would like that. I would love that, really. I mean, I think that Sasha Banks and Bayley are the most entertaining acts in pro wrestling right now. And Asuka ain't far behind. To me, Sasha versus Asuka should be the main event of that show, without a doubt. But I like that idea. Is the plan right now to have MVP challenge for Apollo, Apollo's U.S. title at Extreme Rules and save Apollo versus Lashley at SummerSlam? Last I heard, there was a plan for MVP to challenge for the title. I just don't know when that will be. If Jon Moxley is unable to continue or unable to defend the AEW World title at Fyter Fest, what would you like to see happen with Brian Cage at the event? I would like to see him matched up with whoever the biggest possible name is that is not booked and have him beat them and beat them pretty easily. Leanna says, do you think WWE will make Sasha versus Asuka submission match? They seem to tease it a bit on Raw. I don't think so, but WWE likes to slap last-minute stipulations on people even after they've worked on the match, so wouldn't shock me. In regards to the Slammiversary main event, who do you think the mystery opponent is, and will they walk out with the title? I think either EC3 or Eric Young, and I don't think they'll walk out with the title. I think if it's EC3, then Moose will interfere. With Sasha and Bayley having singles title matches at Extreme Rules, do you think they'll also have a tag title match, and who do you think they'll face? I don't, but I do think that before the end of July, they'll end up facing Riot Squad. And boy, would I be excited to see that. Andrew Nolly says, can you explain the difference between an FTF or STF and the cross-face submission hold? Yeah. So an STF, the opponent is face down. One of their legs is folded up. You clasp that folded leg between your legs, your thighs, your knees, and then you reach up across and you do the cross-face. The cross-face submission, you start with a bit of an arm bar to drag them down. You trap that arm between your legs, which is out to the side in which the leg is isolated, or the arm is isolated, and then you pull the cross face there. They're completely different holds. Are there any moves that used to be finishers that you think should go back to being a finisher? Sweet Chin Music, the Olympic Slam, or the Choke Slam? Choke Slam, kind of. The Super Kick, no. I think that the Super Kick is okay being a temporary finish. To me, the Pile Driver, the Cradle Pile Driver, any Pile Driver should be a finishing move. The DDT, I think, is a great one. I think a good old basic cutter would be a really good one and very easy for somebody to do. The Scorpion Death Drop, if it got modified enough, I think could be a really good one. And how about this? How about a regular-ass power bomb? We see a lot of sit-down power bombs and stuff. I want to see a regular-ass power bomb as a finish. Man, a good one? Man, that used to be a match ender for me. Razor's Edge. I also liked, for a while, Diesel in WWF, like 94, 95. He would do the Jackknife Powerbomb, and he wouldn't do it like a regular powerbomb. He'd do it like off his shoulder, and oh, I think that looked so good. Raquel Gonzalez did one last week that was just so awesome. The Torture Rack would be another good one. The Vader Bomb in the corner from a big guy would be really, really good as well. There's lots of them out there. I could do a whole show on that. What are moves that are used as finishers you think should never finish a match? For example, the Judas Effect or the Full Nelson. I just don't think the Judas Effect looks great. I think it looks great when Andrade uses it. I get probably why Jericho's using it. He's a bit older. He doesn't have to bump off of it. But to me, it just doesn't look great. The Full Nelson, I mean, I've never seen a submission. I've never seen it even used in MMA outside of one time when Rich Clemente had it on Melvin Gillard, and they acted like it was ridiculous back then. I don't think that should be a finish. I don't think, like, the Cobra or the throat spike should be them either. I don't think a knockout punch should be a finisher either, just because it should be illegal. Closed fist punches should be illegal because it buries all the other strikes in the match. Again, I could go a long time on this, Andrew. Thank you for that question. I love talking finishers. JJ says, you mentioned last week that WWE is serious about cleaning up their roster about problematic wrestlers. Do you mean that in behavior outside the ring or being perceived to be difficult backstage? I mean problematic outside the ring. Have you gotten any insight on who of the released wrestlers may come back to WWE? No. None yet. Edge has already been hurt in his return, so I assume his time back will be limited. Which stars who he has never wrestled would you like to see him have matches with? AJ Styles, Matt Riddle, Aleister Black off the top of my head, Tommaso Ciampa would be a good one, Killer Cross would be a good one, Karrion Cross would be a good one. Those are the main ones. Any news on Kelly Klein's injury status and if there's interest from any other companies? I've not heard of any interest, and I don't know of the injury status because she has not wrestled at all since then. And to be quite honest with you, I don't want to talk to Joey Mercury to ask. Let me tell you guys, until you have read aloud to Joey Mercury one of his own emails, you have never really lived. Who would be your pick to be the mystery wrestler for Slammiversary, EC3? This would probably be a better question for Jimmy Van, given his knowledge in the area, but since they can't vote him out due to his majority control, would it be an option for WWE board and executives to have Vince declared incompetent and get him out that way? Jimmy answered this and he said, Vince doesn't just have majority ownership, but he also has the majority of voting rights. 80%, but will decrease to 70% when he turns over shares he sold in cash advance deal next year. So he controls the board, which would thereby make it pretty tough to push him out. Brennan says, why in the blue chew hell won't Vince unify the WWE men's tag team division titles? Seems like a no-brainer and instantly makes the tag division so much better. They just don't want to. They just don't want to. They want to have separate almost everything, but they know that the women's tag team division is not deep enough to have separate titles, so that's why. Dev says, is it me or does Natty Sharpshooter look bad It never looks like it hurts. In that vein, are there any moves you see that make you cringe on how they are applied? Yes. I like Natty's sharpshooter. To me, Sting's was dog shit. The Rock's was really bad. Warren and I joked about this on Friday, but Yoshihashi's butterfly lock does not, it's not applied right. It's just not applied right. For a while, AJ's calf crusher. Now, here's the thing. AJ knows how to apply a calf crusher. He knows how to do it, but he's being very nice to people. When you apply a calf crusher, what you're doing is you are figure fouring your own legs around their outside leg. And then what you're doing is, ideally, you grab the toes, but AJ grabs the shin. But if you grab the toes, you get more leverage. You are pulling their calf towards your own shin bone, and that applies pressure, and that's why it's called the calf cutter. Your shin bone is cutting into their calf. To add pressure to that, what you would do is take your foot on the outside and push on your own ankle area to apply more pressure to your from your shin to their calf. So when I see that, it doesn't make me cringe, but I realize AJ is being very nice to those people because most people don't know how to actually apply one. There are a lot of guillotine chokes that I see that aren't applied good. There are some rear naked chokes I see in WWE where they push the back of the head, and that's not what you want to do. You want to grab your own bicep, make it look a little more realistic. But from a theatric standpoint, don't like it. To me, there's a lot of basic rear naked chin locks or reverse chin locks or whatever the hell you want to call them. And if you tried to pull a chin lock on somebody in a grappling class, they would turn into you, probably try to hook your leg and trip you or dump you on your head, or they'd just laugh at you. Because a chin lock does not cut off your carotid artery. It does not cut off your windpipe. It is legitimately just a lock around your chin. And if you want to prevent somebody from sitting out of that, you have to block the hips off. You have to wrap your legs around them. You got to do something. And even then, you're just holding them there. That's frustrating to me. Because I see that, and I'm like, there's no way somebody would sit in that for a minute and a half. They'd get laughed out of wherever they're at. I'll do a technique talk on that sometime and do a video on it. Dev says, given the current lull in star power in the women's division, should WWE just take a risk and pull a trigger on an upset first-time champion like Liv, Sonya, or Bianca, or would a slow build work better? To me, I think a hot shot, holy shit, they're getting a title shot, give them three wins back-to-back-to-back on Raw, and then have them win the title, and I think that would be great. I think Sonya is the best for that, quite frankly. Bianca's right up there, though, and Liv, I think Liv could use a build. To me, Bianca just exudes, like, so good she could win the title immediately type of thing. Sam says, what's the perception of Charlotte's departure backstage? It seems like there's a lot of conflicting reports. Is she using this as a possible or as a part of contract negotiations? I don't know her contract status. The people that I've talked to don't really care when somebody else is taking time off. Here's the thing. You would expect, like, some people in the women's division to be like, oh, she's taking time off. Why does she get time off? No, they want the opportunity, the ones that I've spoken to. I don't hear any negativity about it. Becky claimed this week that she pitched losing at WrestleMania. Is it common for wrestlers to make pitches for themselves to win or lose? Yes, all the time. The most famous is Hardcore Holly saying, I got an idea. How about you give me the belt and I beat everybody? But yeah, that happens a lot. How often have you heard of wrestlers pitching themselves to lose? Is Becky unusually generous in wanting to do that? No, she's not, but I hear of it a lot. I mean, Scott Hall lost on his own to Chris Jericho. Wasn't supposed to. Scott Hall used to do that a lot. He would job out to people when he felt like it would help them more than it would help him to win. But I actually hear that stuff all the time, and people wanting to work with younger wrestlers. Ray Callahan says, do you think the way that the Tessa situation played out impacts the way intergender matches are viewed by WWE and AEW? Yeah, I think it should, too, because they put her over a lot of men and got a lot of criticism, and then she hit the bricks. In the final episode of Last Ride, Edge mentioned AJ as a last match type of guy. Do you think that was him hinting at something down the road or just a piece of high praise? I think it was a piece of high praise. Because, I mean, Edge and AJ could finish up at the same time at the way we're going. WWE has been going into the vault for pay-per-views. I like it. Do you think they keep doing it? Hoping for Halloween Havoc this fall. Yeah, I do think they keep doing it. If for nothing else, than to keep the trademarks away from AEW. Ali Bazzi says, hi, Sean. Where I live, we don't have catch wrestling. Do you think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or normal Jiu-Jitsu are a good alternative? I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a good alternative. If I had to pick a real alternative to catch wrestling, I would say Judo. It is a lot more physically demanding, but catch-as-catch-can wrestling, here's the thing. If you train as a catch-as-catch-can wrestling for an extended period of time, not only will you have a solid foundation for almost any other grappling art, but for MMA and for pro wrestling. We had numerous people on our local indie circuit that when we needed a fill-in desperately, when we had a no-show, we were able to call up somebody who was on the catch wrestling team, and they had the foundations of bumping, rolling, takedowns, protecting people, not protecting people, suplexes, slams, chain wrestling, a lot of that stuff, and they had the instincts to pin. To me, that was the most important thing. You have the instincts to pin or submit your opponent, which I think are really integral into pro wrestling, and that's why I think that catch-as-catch-can wrestlers transition so well. Because when they see your shoulders on the mat, they're going to try to roll you up, they're going to try to tie you up, they're going to try to do something. On jiu-jitsu, in jiu-jitsu, one, you're going to learn some great submissions, you're going to learn how to fight off your back, you're going to learn a great form of self-defense. But as it relates to pro wrestling, I think that jiu-jitsu isn't as good and can sometimes even be detrimental because you're learning to work off your back as opposed to staying off your back. You see that a lot with, like, Kurt Angle. Like, he's got those instincts to where he stays off his back. When his shoulders hit the mat, he's going to hop up and leave. If you're just looking for something to train, then yeah, I'm not going to sit here and rag on Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I trained it for a while myself, too. And I loved it. I might have actually had more fun training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu than catch wrestling. It's just I don't think it was as effective. But that's not to say it's not effective. I think it is a good alternative. Do you think Hell in a Cell or Elimination Chamber will be used in the next 6 months? No, I don't. I think they should go Halloween Havoc in October instead. Ali Bazzi says, what do you think of that YouTuber that shits on everything that WWE does and he and his fans go after other fans and journalists that mostly like the product? I mean, I don't know who you're talking about. If you mean JD, I get along with him personally in the very limited experience that I've had with him. I know that I tweeted him a couple weeks ago because he had talked about blue check marks, but here's the thing. He and I spoke about that personally. I was like, listen, if you got something to say to me, say it. He said it wasn't about me, so I didn't take it as about me. But I always prefer to talk about stuff like that directly. Whether it be publicly or not, if I think somebody has a problem with me, I'm going to reach out to them personally about it. And I did that with JD, and he said, nope, that's not the situation. That's not the way it is. I told him that I felt like his audience was toxic. And he said that all of them are, and I disagree with that. I don't think they are. Do I think that his is? Based on the replies that I got, yes. But I don't, like, have a problem with him or anything. I don't really have a problem with anybody in that regard. He's not done anything to me personally. And the Alexa thing that unfolded, he apologized and seemed sincere about that. He can create content any way that he wants, and he is extremely successful in doing so. So, more power to him. If you don't like his content, if you don't like the things that he does, I mean, you don't have to watch it. Any words on plans for Bianca Belair to be used on TV anytime soon? Nope, I haven't heard a damn thing. Cameron Hutton says, does Baron Corbin think that he is the best heel in the business? Possibly saying that Riddle needed to beat enhancement talents to face him. That's the rumor. I feel like Baron Corbin probably does think he's the best heel in the business, and I don't think there's anything wrong with him thinking that. I don't think that at all. I think that he needs a lot of work in that regard, but I think that he could be. I think he's got all the potential in the world. I really enjoy him in the ring when he's not slapping on a half Nelson Cross face, but I do think that he probably has a high opinion of himself. Do you think there will be another All Together show? For those who don't know what that is, that was a series of shows by All Japan, New Japan, and Pro Wrestling Noah. No, I don't think involving those three ingredients that there will be. Ralph says, what are the chances NWA Power ever comes back, and do you think Nick Aldis would leave for AEW or Impact? Not if he's getting a salary to do nothing right now, but I think it's 50-50 that NWA Power ever comes back right now. Dave Lagana was the heartbeat of that show, and unfortunately, due to things that he was accused of doing, he will no longer be a part of that. But it'd be very hard, for even for the amount that they were paying him, to find two or three people that could do the thing that he did, because he crafted that. He crafted it. It was his. Well, guys, thank you all so much. The three questions, I think, are working out pretty well. But thank you all so much. We're out.